الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله, those who spend their wealth in the path of Allah, ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منن ولا أذى. This is really important. This word yutbi'una, they do not follow up. This is the concept of following up a good deed. Alas, that we never understood this concept. For us, good deed is something you do, it's over. Of course Allah has accepted it, and of course you got that palace in Jannah. No, it's not as simple as that. You do a good deed, then you have to follow up. How do you follow up? You have to make sure that that good deed is protected. How do you protect the good deed? By number one, silence. By number two, prayers for acceptance. Never take it for granted that of course Allah accepted it. Why was it that Ibrahim alayhi salam was building the Kaaba? Come on, what act could be greater than that? And he's saying, Rabbana taqabbal minna. And he's saying, Watub alayna. Accept and forgive. Why is he praying for forgiveness? Because no matter how good it is, it's still not worthy of Allah. This is humility. And taqabbal minna, a recognition that acceptance depends upon Allah who can see through our hearts. So here Allah teaches us the concept of following up our good deeds. Many people do good deeds, but very few people know how to protect their good deeds. Very few. لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ, for them is their reward with their Lord. وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ, no fears upon them. وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, nor shall they grieve. Why? The person who gives for the sake of fame, or the sake of gratitude, or the sake of popularity, or someone who gives a grand present because he wants a grander in return, is someone who will spend his life in discontent and restlessness and waiting. He will always spend his life waiting for those words of praise, waiting for that pat on the back, waiting for the reciprocal present which maybe comes and maybe does not come. People who give for the sake of Allah are people whose hearts are at peace. I gave it for Allah, may Allah accept it, end of story. I have no expectations from this person. Think about it. Why are we disappointed? We're disappointed when people let us down. Because we have expectations from them. The mu'min expects only from Allah. Again and again, the prophets keep saying, In ajriya illa ala Allah. My reward is only from Allah. I don't want wealth from you. I don't want praise from you. Why are they saying it? To teach us that when you do something, please do it for Allah. Do it for Akhirah. Don't even expect the reward in dunya. If you do, you are doomed to disappointment. This is why Allah says, when people give, do not spoil that good deed, then they are free. They are liberated. Liberated from expecting from people. Liberated from wanting from people. They're detached. Makes no difference to them whether people turn around and thank them or revile them or doubt them. Fine. They did it for Allah and Allah knows and that's good enough. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ثَلَاثَةٌ, there are three people. لَا يَنْزُرُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, there are three people at whom Allah will not even look on the day of judgment. And there are three people who will not enter Jannah. The three people who will not enter Jannah are, number one, the one who disobeys his parents. Number two, the one who is addicted to wine. And number three, Al-Mannanu bima a'ta, the one who reminds of what he gave. These three people will not enter Jannah. Just imagine. Now comes one of the most beautiful verses in the Quran. قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبَعُهَا أَذَى. A kind word and forgiveness are far better than that sadaqah which is followed by pain. وَاللَّهُ غَنِيٌّ حَلِيمٌ, and Allah is rich and Allah is forbearing. First came the best form of spending. Verse 261. 262, method of spending. Follow it up with goodness. Don't follow it up with pain or injury or talking about it. Verse 263 describes the spirit of spending. Most important verse in today's section. A kind word and forgiveness are better than that sadaqah which is followed by pain. In this verse, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching us about the spirit of spending. And the spirit of spending is that you should not be causing others pain. If someone comes up to you for a sadaqah and you don't have the money, don't give them the money, but at the same time be polite, be courteous. Sometimes a beggar comes tapping on our car window, and yes, begging is forbidden in Islam. Even then, please do not humiliate the beggar by yelling at him or snapping at him or literally humiliating him or taunting him, which is what we like to do. We say it so strictly, we say it so aggressively that this is something which Allah does not like. Whether we justify it by saying, oh, but they are professional beggars. Yes, you're not supposed to encourage professional beggars. You're not supposed to give to them. Even then, every human being has a degree of self-respect which you're supposed to respect as well. You're not allowed to trample on anyone's dignity. Forbidden in Islam. A kind word and forgiveness are better than a sadaqah followed by pain. If you're going to give and then taunt, please don't give. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, giving sadaqah is an obligation upon every Muslim. The Sahaba asked, what about one who does not find the means to do so? What if someone doesn't have the money? He said, let him work with his hands, thus doing benefit to himself and give in charity. The Sahaba asked, what if he does not have the means to do so? What if someone's too ill or too old or too weak to do that? Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then let him assist the needy and the grieved. The Sahaba asked, what about if he cannot even do this? Then he said, then he should enjoin good. The Sahaba asked, in other words, he should tell people what's right. The Sahaba said, what if he cannot do even that? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he should then abstain from evil, for that is a sadaqah from him as well. Bukhari and Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every day the sun rises, sadaqah is due on every joint of a person. Do you know that? When we rise in the morning, we have to give sadaqah on every joint in our body. And we who are so stingy that months pass by without our giving a sadaqah. That you administer justice between two men is a sadaqah. Helping a man to mount his beast is a sadaqah. Helping him load his luggage onto it is a sadaqah. A good word is a sadaqah. Every step that you take towards the mosque for salah is a sadaqah. And removing harmful things from the road is a sadaqah. Bukhari and Muslim. This is the beauty of Islam. You don't have to be giving your money if you don't have enough to give. You can be earning reward all day long by every deed you do, every smile you give. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, your smile at the face of your brother is a sadaqah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not disdain any act of goodness, even that you meet your brother with a cheerful face. Even this is a sadaqah. Imagine, no matter how small it might be. So we find that this is the concept of sadaqah. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about the concept of sadaqah, and he said, help a laborer or work for one who is disabled. I asked, what if I cannot do that? He said, you should restrain yourself from doing wrong to people, because this is a sadaqah which you give to yourself. This is the importance of sadaqah, that you're giving. And if you have nothing to give, then at the very least, protect people from your evil. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. The Muslim is one from whose tongue and hands other Muslims are saved. If you're not gossiping about people, that's a sadaqah. If you're controlling your tongue, that's a sadaqah, that people are safe from your evil. قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ, a kind word, وَمَغْفِرَةٌ, and forgiveness, خَيْرٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبَعُهَا أَذًى, are far better than that sadaqah which is followed by pain and injury. If you're going to give and taunt, then please do not give at all. وَاللَّهُ غَنِيٌ حَلِيمٌ, and Allah is rich, Allah is forbearing. In other words, Allah did not need your sadaqah, and Allah is Haleem. Allah gives you and forgives all the sins that you do. Imagine if Allah were to start denying us food and water because of our sins. What do you think would the outcome be? Allah gives and forgives. And that's what we're supposed to do. When we give someone something, or when we do something for anyone, in our heart of hearts, we feel that they should now become our slaves. For example, whether you help your servants, or maybe you give a really beautiful gift to a friend, in your heart of hearts, you feel that now she should be indebted to me. And now she should praise me and thank me and do her best to reciprocate what I have done. So Allah reminds us, think of the divine pattern. Allah is Ghani. He doesn't need our sadaqat. And He is Haleem. He keeps giving. He keeps forgiving. He keeps forbearing. He keeps overlooking. How many of us deserve the wealth Allah has bestowed upon us? If we truly think about it, think of all that Allah has given to you and all that you've given back in return. Wallahu ghaniyun haleem. Allah is rich and Allah is forbearing. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu. Again, the same concept comes. O you who believe, la tubtilu sadaqatikum. Don't delete your sadaqat. Don't waste them. Don't render them null and void. Bil manni wal adha. By reminding, by speaking, by publicizing. Wal adha, and by taunting. Kalladhi, like the one, yunfiqu, who spends, malahu, his wealth, ri'a an-nasi, to be seen by people. Wala yu'minu billahi, he does not believe in Allah. Wal yawmil akhir, or the last day. What does this mean? This verse mentions the third aspect which actually negates sadaqah. The first was man. What is man? That we speak about what we've done for someone. What was adha? That we taunt the person, or we go around telling people that she doesn't know. I know, I could tell you all the things that I've done for her and she's forgotten them now, but I remember them. You know, words like that. Taunting, cruel words. The third thing here is riya. And this is the third thing that actually deletes sadaqah. What is riya? Simply, when you do it to show off. Now sometimes riya creeps in before you gave, and sometimes riya creeps in while you're giving, and sometimes riya creeps in after giving. But either which way it comes, it destroys your good deed. What is riya? That you speak about it before people. You're not mentioning the person. It's not man. You're not mentioning the person to whom you gave, but you're mentioning the fact that you gave sadaqah. And people will do it sometimes casually, sometimes laughingly, sometimes seriously. But if the intention was so that people should be impressed with how wonderful we are, it's gone. Gone forever and it will not return. Now look at this phrase. The one who spends his wealth to be seen by people so his name comes in the newspaper. So that his picture comes in the newspaper. His name's read out over the mic and thousands of people applaud. Like they have pictures of, you know, people giving checks. If they gave it for Allah, why are they being photographed? Why is it so important that the picture comes in the newspaper? What happens to the newspaper at the end of the day? Or at the end of 3 or 4 days, it's used as rubbish. Or it's used to wipe the mirrors, or it's used literally to wrap your shoes in when you're packing. That's what happens to that fame. That's a very chilling example of worldly fame and popularity. So much for worldly fame. So much for our name having come in the newspaper, if that same newspaper is being used to wrap rubbish in and throw it away. كَالَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَالَهُ رِعَاءَ النَّاسِ. One who spends as well, so people applaud. I must give to the right cause. I must give to the cause of the moment. I must give to the most popular cause. This is riya. And then you have photographs. And then you have certificates that so-and-so gave this much amount of money. If you gave it for Allah, hide it from people. Now look at this phrase. Such a person does not believe in Allah in the last day. Why? This doesn't mean that such a person is a non-Muslim. Allah is actually exposing his inner self. This is the hypocrite, remember? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Man salla yura'i faqad ashraka. Whoever prays to show off, he has done shirk. For example, you're praying and someone religious enters and your prayer becomes long and devoted. Your sajdas become sincere and passionate. Your dua becomes more fervent. Man salla yura'i faqad ashraka. Whoever prayed to show off has done shirk. Man tasaddaqa yura'i faqad ashraka. Whoever gave a sadaqah to show off, he has done shirk. For example, someone comes to you and says that I'm collecting money for this cause, can you give me money? Now you know that had you passed by a box containing a signed gift for this cause, you would never have given it. But you think to yourself, if I don't give her this money, she's going to tell people what a miser I am. And everyone else has given, so it looks really bad, so why don't I give? Then you're opening your wallet. You know, had it been left to yourself, you wouldn't have given more than 500. But because you think 500 will look really less, you give 1,000. This is riya. Learn to be honest with yourself. And learn to see through your motives. When we give because the person who asked us is someone we want to impress, we don't want them to think we don't have the money. We don't want them to think that we don't want to spend the money. We like to show off. It's just that self-projection or that image that we want to project of ourselves being such lovely people, then la yu'minu billah, he does not believe in Allah. Wa la bil yawmil akhir, he doesn't even believe in the last day. Why are two aspects of faith mentioned here? Because if you believed in Allah, you would have given it for Allah. And if you had believed in the day of judgment, you wouldn't have needed this reward from people. You would have wanted the reward on that day. وَلَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ, he doesn't believe in Allah, that's why he gave it to impress that person. وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, or the last day. If he believed in the last day, he would have given it for reward on that day. He would have anticipated the reward of the Akhirah. فَمَثَلُهُ, so his example. كَمَثَلِ صَفْوَانٍ, is the parable of a smooth rock. عَلَيْهِ تُرَاب, upon it is dust. فَأَصَابَهُ وَابِلٌ, so heavy rain reaches it. فَتَرَكَهُ صَلْدًا, so it leaves it bare. This is the example of someone who spends to show off, who spends to gain popularity, who spends to gain fame. Such a person will gain temporary praise. The little bit of dust, that's the temporary fame that you gain. How everlasting is fame in this world anyway? People will praise you one day and they'll criticize you the minute you get up and leave. Someone enters a gathering and everyone says, oh, you're looking wonderful. And the minute she leaves, people start passing personal comments about her appearance. But that's what people are like. They're fickle, they're shallow, and they're liars. So how long is their temporary praise and their temporary admiration that you're so generous? And whenever I ask you, you always give money for that donation, for that cause. His example is the example of a smooth rock. There's nothing there. There's really nothing there. فَصَابَهُ وَابِلْ, there's a little bit of dust on it. And when the heavy rain comes, it leaves it bare. On the day of judgment, when such a person shows up, empty-handed, remember? هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا, what does it say in Surah Al-Kahf? Should we tell you about the greatest losers in respect of their deeds? الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, those whose effort is lost, it's wasted in the life of this world. And the tragedy is, هُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا, the poor things think they're doing a great job. Why? Because they did it to show off, they did it for praise, they did it for fame, they did it for publicity. They did it for gaining the praise or admiration of people, and maybe they gained it and maybe they didn't. And even if they gained it, how long is it going to last? How long is someone going to sit and praise you to your face or behind your back? Not very long, I can assure you of that. فَتَّرَكَهُ صَلْدًا, when the day of judgment comes, this person shows up. Do you remember the hadith about the martyr, the scholar and the philanthropist? The philanthropist will show up. Allah will say, what did you do for me? And he will say, Allah, I gave so much. I gave whatever I could give, and Allah will say, you lie. You did it so people should call you generous, and I have nothing for you today. And he will be thrown into the fires of hell. The concept of doing a good deed for Allah is that the reward must come only from Allah, not from people. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam always taught us, innamal a'malu binniyat, actions depend upon intentions. This is why Allah says, فَتَرَكَهُ صَلْدًا, so the rock is bare, and this man has nothing. لَا يَقْدِرُونَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ مِمَّا كَسَبُوا. This is terrifying. They will not have power over anything that they earned. It's all gone. What tragedy could be greater than the tragedy of a man who keeps sending his luggage abroad, keeps sending his money abroad, transferring everything abroad. When he reaches there, he discovers there was a mistake and none of his luggage has reached. Someone else has stolen it. None of his money has reached. What do you think the situation of such a man would be? وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهَدَى الْقَوْمَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah does not guide the disbelieving people. Why does Allah say al-kafirin here? To teach us that these three qualities, riya, man and aza, are qualities of kufr, not of Islam. These three qualities, man, talking about what you did for people. Number two, adha, actually causing pain to the person whom you help. And number three, riya, showing off, are qualities or faces of kufr. These are not qualities possessed by Muslims. Now comes another example. Notice how this passage abounds in vivid examples. وَمَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ إِبْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. The other end of the spectrum. The example of those who spend their wealth seeking the pleasure of Allah. وَتَثْبِيتًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. And for the strengthening of their own souls. كَمَثَلِ جَنَّةٍ بِرَبْوَةٍ is the example of a garden on a height. أَصَابَهَا وَابِلٌ. Heavy rain reaches it. فَآتَتْ أُكَلَهَا ضِعْفَيْنِ. So it brings forth its fruit double fold. فَإِنْ لَمْ يُصِبْهَا وَابِلٌ. If does not reach it heavy rain. فَطَلٌ. Then dew is sufficient. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Allah can see through whatever you do. Now comes the description of your true intention in spending. Whatever you are spending, whether it's a smile or a kind word or going to sit with someone who's sick or taking someone to the hospital or helping a needy servant or dusting the room or picking up a thorn from the path or giving money for the sake of Allah's deen, these are the two intentions that must be your focus. Number one, ibtigha'a mardatillah, seeking the pleasure of Allah. This word seeking here is very crucial. That's what the mu'min's life is all about. It's a quest for seeking the pleasure of Allah. He doesn't know when he'll find it. He doesn't know when he'll receive it. So he keeps on trying. He can't afford to stop. He can't afford to take a break. Because maybe that could be his last day. That's why we're taught to pray that Allah make the best day of my life the last day. The best deed of my life, the last deed. The best moment of my life, the moment in which I meet you therein. This should be the focus. ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. Seeking the pleasure of Allah. If you seek the pleasure of people, you are doomed to disappointment and failure. If you seek the pleasure of dunya, you are doomed to failure and misery and nothing but hopeless failure. But if you seek the pleasure of Allah, He will reward you for a tear that you shed, for a smile that you give, or for a mountain of gold that you might give. First intention, ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. Second intention, تَثْبِيتًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ, for the strengthening of their own souls. This is very important. When we give money for the sake of Allah, what happens? There's a battle. There's a little battle that takes place before you give it, depending on what you're giving. Some people are, mashallah, so generous that for them it's no problem to give. But for some, it's very difficult to give. Because when we're about to give, we have to conquer our stinginess. We have to conquer our fears for the future. We have to conquer our misgivings. We have to conquer some desires. That if I don't give this money as sadqa, maybe I could get this for myself instead. Maybe I could keep it for the children. or maybe I could keep it for a rainy day. So all of these struggle that goes on in your soul before you can actually give the sadaqah, Allah describes this as تَثْبِيتَ مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. The act of giving a sadaqah is an act of self-purification. The act of giving sadaqah is an act of self-purification. You're strengthening your soul. You're conquering your nafs, because our nafs hates giving. Our nafs wants to keep everything for itself and our kids. But when we give something for the sake of Allah, this is تَثْبِيتَ مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ, and Allah will strengthen our iman, enrich our faith, develop our love for Him and for people. Like it says, show mercy to those who are on the earth, the one who is in the heavens will show mercy to you. Allah says, O son of Adam, spend and I will spend upon you. In another hadith it says, Allah will help his slave as long as the slave helps his brother. تَثْبِيتَ مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. This is لَن تَنَالُ الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُ مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You can never attain the peaks of goodness till you spend from that which you love. The example of such people is the example of a garden on a height. Imagine. Now imagine a garden. Imagine a beautiful green lush garden. And then imagine it on a height. Its beauty would be enhanced. Because think of the view seen from a height. It's always much more beautiful, much more impressive. Now, the garden is such, it's so luxuriant, it's so fertile, that whether heavy rain reaches it or just the light dew reaches it, it's still giving, giving, giving. And this is the mu'min. Whether the mu'min is rich, he's giving, giving, giving. And if he's poor, he's still giving whatever he can give. This is the example of the mu'min, like the fertile garden, whether it's raining heavily or whether it's just slight dew, slight moisture, even that is enough for the garden to give. In the same way, the mu'min gives in all circumstances. The mu'min gives when he has money in abundance, and the mu'min also gives when he finds it difficult to give. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once asked, which sadaqah is the most rewardable? He said that you should give sadaqah when you are healthy and stingy. Why healthy? Because our attitude is we give sadaqah when we're sick. We feel that, you know, we should give sadaqah so that we become healthy again. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you give sadaqah when you are healthy and stingy. You fear poverty and you hope to become rich. Your situation is a little tight. It's not that easy for you to give. If you give, you'll have to sacrifice some other desire of yours. So this sadaqah is the most precious sadaqah with Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam added, don't delay. Don't delay your sadaqah. Till when you are about to die, the soul reaches the throat and then you say, this is for so-and-so and this is for so-and-so. It is already for so-and-so. And this is a vivid picture of most of us. We will delay giving sadaqah. No, no, not yet. What if I need it? What if I need to buy? And then God forbid someone realizes that he's about to die, whether on his deathbed or receives a death certificate or contract some fatal disease, and then he starts making legacies. Okay, I'll give this for so-and-so and this for so-and-so. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled at the futility. What is this man? Who is he deluding? When we could give sadaqah, then we didn't give it, and now our wealth's going to be distributed anyway. And this is the importance of sadaqah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, protect your wealth with zakat. We avoid finding out the true rate of zakat, but he said, protect your wealth with zakat. Heal your sick ones with sadaqah. And face the storm of calamities with dua and humility. On another occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, sadaqah increases the life of a Muslim. Next time you don't feel like giving a sadaqah, think it will give barakah to your life. Now look at the ending of the verse. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Allah can see through what you're doing. This is actually really inspiring. That if someone is desperate for praise or admiration or adulation or applause, then he should know that Allah can see what he's done. And Allah's praise or Allah's approval should be good enough for him.